Good evening, everyone. Hey, welcome to The Buzz, Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network. Hey, we circle the globe 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with the finest in broadcasting found anywhere around the world. And now, welcome to Groove Swing Speaks. We come to you each and every Tuesday, 4 p.m. on the West Coast, 6 p.m. Central Time, and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it seems like we have a full house today. And wow, this is so exciting, ladies and gentlemen. I believe, LaToya, I believe this is our broadcast number 6, I believe. Is that correct? Your mic is muted. Unmute your mic, dear. Okay, unmute your mic. And I see Brother Robert Hicks, he's in the house. Hey, Brother Hicks, how are you, my friend?
Everything is everything, G.
Amen.
And I just wanted to say it's episode number 6 of 600.
Hey, look here. We're going to make it 6,000, but I'll take 600 right now, right? I'll take that. Wow. I see some names that I don't recognize, but thank you so much for joining us. Is that, I'm going to try. I'm going to give it a stab, okay? Is that Roysha Elm? Or Roysha Elm?
Roysha Elm.
Roysha Elm. Hi. Hi, dear. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. And Kelly Durham. Kelly?
Hey, how are you?
Okay. Well, you know, wow, you guys, thank you for making this. And, wow, we're on StreamYard, and we only have room for 10, so... anybody else want to join? You better do it now because, we're filling up fast and this is very exciting. LaToya, I'm just blown away.
I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and we have our special guest here. Okay. Attorney Ebony Elm. Hey, Ebony.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you?
Wonderful. Peace and grooves. How you doing?
Terrific, terrific. So let's go around a little bit and let's introduce, Ebony, we're going to get to you, last. Well, not last. Okay. But special because LaToya, she's going to, tell us a little bit about you. Then we're going to get into the subject matter, tonight. Okay. Which happens to be DEI. And I want to thank you, Brother Hicks. And what I try to do when we bring on our special guests, I try to relate the topic to whatever their expertise, you know, or their, brilliance or educational value or whatever it is. I want to connect the dots, in other words. So let's let's talk to Roysha Elm. Roysha, tell us a little bit about you. I'll meet you, Mike.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Roysha Elm. I am the Times 3 sister of Ebony Elm. I'm also a member of Swing by Swing Social Fellowship Incorporated. Thank you for having me tonight. Just a little bit about myself. I live in New Jersey. I attended Howard University in Washington, D.C., and I am also an attorney out of New Jersey. And I appreciate the platform, and I hope we have a good broadcast tonight.
Oh, we're going to have a great one. We have a great one. Brother Craig just came in, so we're trying to get him set up. So let's go around, and let's talk to Kelly Durham.
Hey, I'm the honorary sister of Ebony Elm, which is how I got this invite. I am waiting to be admitted into the D.C. bar. Went to Elon Law School, and currently work at Next Gen Law Group.
Wow.
This is
really cool. Okay. And then let's see. Yvonne, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. What? Okay. Tell us a little bit about
you. My name is Yvonne. I'm Ebony and Roysha's sister. So that's how I got this invite. I'm currently a college student, full-time mom, and I'm work full-time as well as a benefit administrator for Willis Towers Watson.
Oh, outstanding, outstanding. And we just had someone else to join us just now, and that's Kendra D.
Hi, yes, I'm also an honorary sister of Miss Ebony Elm, which is why I am on today. I am an attorney in North Carolina as well. Graduated from North Carolina Central School of Law. Have not practiced currently in North Carolina dealing with family law and criminal defense.
Outstanding. Wow, this is going to work out great. And so, Sister LaToya, okay, tell us about you. And you're also going to introduce our special guest.
Well, I have been up here for the past 6 weeks, so I don't need a whole bunch of, a whole lot of introductions, but I am LaToya Yvette. I am a proud member of a wonderful organization, Swing by Swing Social Fellowship Incorporated. I am a proud member of the Raleigh Graduate Chapter as well. And that's it for about me for this evening.
Okay.
How about that?
All right, right. Now we're going to Brother Craig, and then I'm going to go to Brother Hicks, because Brother Hicks is the one that came up with the topic. The topic tonight, we're going to talk about DEI, okay? Diversity, equity, and inclusion. And to me, this, I mean, it just struck me when I found out that there are people, powers to be, that want to get rid of it. And can we imagine how things would be so, they're tough now, right? And it's like rolling back 50 years or so of progress. So I'm not going to get into my spiel right now, because I want to introduce Brother Craig. Craig Hunter.
My name is, the mic's not on.
Your mic isn't on? No. Let's take care of that for you right now, all right? Let's do that. Okay. Let's try that.
Okay, while you're taking care of his mic, I want to say hola, my beautiful sisters, and greeting my brothers. And I want to say thank you to the ladies who joined as well. I appreciate you all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, great. Now, all of the ladies, now let me ask a question. I didn't ask Kelly. Now, all of the ladies on the panel today, are you all swings?
I'm not.
And is that Kelly?
Yes, that's Kelly.
Well, that's okay. Well, perhaps you might want to join this fine organization, so hang in there with us. Okay. All right, just a little plug for the swings. All right, Craig.
Thank you. I appreciate it, bro.
Great. My name is Craig.
Exactly, because they are the sophisticated sisters of the great Swing Fine Swing Social Policy Incorporated. Just saying. Okay. And I'm saying it, but it's the truth.
That's right.
That's the thing.
And they're real
folks.
We
like the way you said it, my brother.
They keep it real, too, Robert. You got to add that, man. Real people.
That's right. Craig.
My name is Craig Hunter. I am currently the president of the Virginia Union University Virtual Alumni Chapter. Now, virtual alumni chapters are mainly members who went over at a particular school, and they may be spread throughout the United States and abroad. But we form a chapter to keep the mindset and the forsakenness of our home chapter current and active. I've been in several positions in the national office. I served in the Ronnie White administration 2 times, Victor Henderson and Chris Joyner. So with that said, that's enough.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, let's go to the Brother Robert Hicks here. Go to Brother Robert Hicks. Brother Hicks, when you suggested, you gave me a list of topics that we could possibly talk about throughout our journey, you know, and disseminating really good information, knowledge, and just so many. We talk about everything from diversity. We talk about mental health. We talk about voting. We're going to talk about a lot of things here, but this one really struck home to me. So, Robert, without further ado, please talk about it a little bit, and then I want you to ask our special guest, Ebony Elm, the first question. Let's go around the board, because it seems like we have more than one attorney in the house, which is really great. We want to talk about how the law supports this, but also it is law, and there are people who want to strike it down.
Before we ask a question, I would like to make sure I introduce, give her 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 just due and introduce her.
Okay.
But Robert, go ahead and, you know, take us.
Go ahead. Ladies first.
Oh, sisters first.
Yeah, we're gentlemen. Grooves are gentlemen. That G also stands for gentlemen, okay?
You all are, and we appreciate you all, for sure. Okay, so without further ado, I would like to introduce Miss Ebony M.L. She was born and raised in New Jersey. She attended Livingstone College for her undergraduate, where she completed her tenure, first in criminal justice and sixth in her graduating class. Number six in the class. Okay, anyway. I'm sorry. I got excited about that. She also attended law school at North Carolina Central University. She is licensed to practice law in New Jersey and North Carolina and have been practicing for 5 years. Her areas is criminal and traffic and personal injury. And she says she is a proud and devoted member of the Swing 5 Swing Social Fellowship Incorporated.
So, LaToya, how long, yes, how many years she been practicing?
5 years.
Great.
Yes, absolutely. Gotcha. Absolutely. Outstanding. Now,
5 years, that's beautiful. Okay. I love it.
All right. Now, Brother Hicks, sir. Okay.
Yes.
I want you to tell us why you picked this subject. And then I would like, after you finish saying whatever you like to say, then I want you to ask Attorney Ebony Elm the first question.
Absolutely. And thank you very much to the greatest radio man in the land.
Wow.
And around the world. We just got to say, just first and foremost, because this is a platform that has never been really done so much. I don't see it in any other area, but I'm seeing it right here. And first and foremost, Felon William Brown, thank you very much for this platform, because it's reached us out to everybody. First and foremost, thank you very much for that.
Well, thank you for saying that, man. I'm humbled. I'm extremely humbled, my brother. But go on, please.
Check school's out on Tuesday.
Okay. The one thing that we have seen recently is the idea of, when you're talking about DEI, there's a lot of talk about DEI when it comes down to the area of being able to bring other people into the various different areas that people work in. I would say this, the idea of DEI is three letters: D, diversity, E, equity, and I, inclusion. Now, mm-hmm, what does each of those aspects really mean when it comes down to where we are as people of color? I would say, or anybody for that matter, I would say from the aspect of diversity, it's the idea of representing people from different backgrounds, different races, different genders, orientations, and disabilities, as well as religions, mm-hmm, at any specific level where it is in your organization. The idea is, it doesn't matter who you are as what you represent, or say, for instance, what you practice. It's the idea of, you bring something to the organization. You bring something to the campus. You bring something to the company. You bring something to the world that people need to see, and people need to be able to effectively be a part of. And that basically is, you bring something in the sense of, you bring a great advantage, or you bring a skill, you bring a talent. And that's what I see by diversity. Mm-hmm. Because it could be anybody. We have various people in the places where we work that bring a whole great amount to our organizations or our companies, and we're not the same. The idea is the being able to bring people together one way or the other. So that's the idea of diversity. Now there's the E, the equity. We want to be able to make sure that we are treated fairly.
Wow.
We want to be able to be sure that we are not just treated fairly, but also compensated in the same way. Say, for instance, I'll say for our sisters on the call, if a man is able to do the same thing that a female is able to do, and maybe even better, the female should be able to be compensated at the same level, if not more.
Absolutely.
Because I can tell you right now, there are a lot of sisters out there who would run circles around me. Trust and believe that. And the idea is you should be able to be compensated in the same manner, in the same way. That's the truth. I put that on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is you want to be able to be making sure that if you're the better person for the position, we're going to elevate you to that level. And we're going to put you, say, you know what? Right. Sister Yvette is going to be the person. Sister Tiffany is going to be in that role. And that's fine, because that's the idea of we understand that you are going to be in that role, in that position. But also the idea is basically when it comes down to equity as well, it's also about justice. Mm-hmm. When it comes down to if you're going to be treating one group of people one way, and that's the standard, you have to treat us in the same standard. You're not going to say this person is higher and that person is lower.
Right. Absolutely. You know, continue, my brother.
Absolutely. The idea is basically we're treating the same way. And also, and so that's the E. The D is the diversity. The E is the equity. But the I is about inclusion. Inclusion basically means bringing everybody together in one way and one group together. Everybody feels welcome. Nobody is excluded. Nobody is cut off because of whatever it is that they're talking about. The idea is not only the idea of bringing people together, but also listening to what they speak, because whatever that one person speaks just might be the one thing that helps that organization become better. And here's the thing. It could be from a standpoint of probably the best way I can put it is, say, for instance, old versus new, or say, for instance, modern versus antique. There's some way that there's something within the talk that says, you know what? I believe your thoughts, I believe your abilities, and I believe your rhetoric on what you're talking about. And we want to move forward with that aspect. So, but the idea is everybody is included in the conversation and we hear each other out. That's what's important as well. So, however, there are various different groups that are out there, and you probably, well, actually, I'm going to talk about that. No negativity right here.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we do realize they do exist, though. It is present.
Yes. We understand that it does exist, and there are forces who are going to cut us off at the legs about this, but I will say this. What are the various different programs that are going to protect DEI, or at least protect the aspect of being able to have everybody come together for the benefit of the organization and moving forward? That's my $19.62.
Okay. We take every bit of that. And now, without further ado, let's talk to our special guest, the attorney, Ebony Elm. What is your stance, your take, and the law that's supposed to protect DEI?
Okay. Well, one, I would like to thank my most beautiful and welcoming sister for that wonderful introduction. Thank you so much. Brother Hicks, you did a good job at explaining what DEI is. I could not have explained it better. So basically what DEI is, just like you said, is diversity, equity, and inclusion. And what a lot of these states are trying to do, and the government is trying to do, is to no longer federally back institutions that run their programs, their policies, their admittance on being diverse, having equity, and being inclusive. And when you think about diversity, equity, and inclusion, you think about how we all come from different backgrounds, all different ethnicities, and how we all bring something to the table. Even in basic conversation, when you meet somebody, the first thing you say is, oh, hey, my name is Ebony. My name is Kendra. Where are you from? Right? Oh, you from up north. I'm from the south. I'm from the west coast. And you start to interact with each other, bond. And again, just immediately start to divulge that information that might make you different, that makes you unique. And again, that's just standard conversation. I know, Brother Hicks, you said you weren't going to try to be negative on this call, but I'm going to tell it like it is, okay? Basically.
Say it, sister. Say it.
Please. Please say it.
It's a free space. It's a free space. Go ahead. Oh, actually, I can't say that. Feldman, William Brown, you've got the final say over it.
No. I want, no. This is inclusion. We want everybody to speak. That's what this is all about. So you guys are doing just absolutely wonderful. And I have to agree with you, Sister Ebony, because we have to bring out the negative aspects of it, and let's try and find out how we can fight against it, because it is a battle that needs to be fought. Please continue, my sister.
Oh, no problem. You are absolutely correct. So there is no constitutional right to federal funding.
Come on.
There is nothing in the Constitution that says that the government is obligated to give you money. In order for you to get a grant, a loan, anything like that, you have to meet specific qualifications, fill out an application, and upon those requirements, the government will decide that I am going to give this particular organization, this particular group, money, right? So basically what the government is trying to do is say, if you're going to base your policies on diversity, equity, and inclusion, I don't have to give you my money, which then leads to private institutions to say, okay, well, how else are we going to get this money? And that's really what it comes down to. You can do what you want. As an institution, you can be all about diversity, equity, and inclusion. That is your right. But that doesn't mean that I will have to support you by giving you my money. And that's what it comes down to, honestly. And when it comes to being diverse, when it comes to equity, when it comes to inclusion, us as minorities, whether we are Black, whether we are Spanish, Asian, we all know what it is like to have to fight for a seat at the table.
Mm-hmm.
We know what it is like to have to be better educationally, be better in performance, be better in our overall being, because just by being who we are, the color of our skin, where we come from, we have to just be better. We do not have the grace, and we are not given all the time in the beginning the tools that we need to be able to be successful like our fair-skinned counterparts, okay? Mm-hmm. So that also leads me to say we as a people need to honestly get into supporting our own and supporting minorities, mm-hmm. okay? Me and Sister LaToya had a conversation about this earlier. Giving back to your community, investing in your community, buying Black, supporting Black, this platform alone by getting, you know, multiple people together from different backgrounds that have an opinion, that can have a say, come up with suggestions for solutions to the problem is literally a start to where we need to be to get us to our final destination for the generations to come. So for example, I know we see a lot of, oh, I try to support Black businesses, but, you know, the owner wasn't great. The business was lacking. I didn't get my package. Or it's always something that says, you know what? I tried to buy Black. I tried to invest in my people. I just can't do it. Right. But then you also see on the other hand, if this was a different establishment ran by, you know, another, you know, fair skinned or another race, you'd give them some grace, right? Oh, I went there. My first experience wasn't the best because the service wasn't that great. The service wasn't up to par. You probably write out like, you know, a little complaint, reach out to the owner, reach out to the, you know, the operating manager and give your opinion. But 9 times out of 10, you're going to go back to that establishment. You're going to say, you know what? My experience there wasn't the best the first time, but I'm going to give them a second chance to make it right.
Amen.
Why can we not give our own people that same grace and that deference? Right? Why instead of judging and going on social media and writing bad reviews, why is it not just a simple question? Hey, I know y'all recently opened. I know you've been open only a year, you know, respectfully, are you taking suggestions? Is there, you know, me as a paying patron, a customer, somebody who wants to see you do good in this community, mm-hmm. right? You know, am I able to offer you that constructive feedback? And I don't even like to say the word criticism, but constructive feedback. And that is what it is. And the more that we give back to our community, the more that we invest in ourselves, you won't need to be federally backed. You won't mm-hmm. need to rely on the government to be able to give you these grants, to give you this money, because you are investing in your own people. The money that you invest is going to come back to you. So your people and your community are able to grow. And honestly, us as the minority, we're just going to call it what it is. We are better. We are better. We are smarter. We are more equipped. We are able to deal with the hardships of life. We're able mm-hmm. to persevere. We are able to keep going. It is in our blood. It is in our DNA, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is just another tactic to try to keep us down and to keep us separated. When honestly, if that's what they would want to do, if that's what they would like to do, it literally pushes us to have to come together, which is something that we need to do anyway. I want to be able to support my brother, Brother Robert Hicks. I want to be able to support LaToya. I want to be able to support anybody on this call community the best way I can, because you look like me, you can relate to me, you understand what I go through on a daily basis, right? You can understand my struggle better than anybody else out there who tries to empathize with me and to try to see where I'm coming from.
Wow.
Right?
Yes, right. Sister Ebony, I'm just going to jump in just for a few seconds, but I want you to continue because you are our special guest, and you are telling the truth. And you don't see that on mainstream radio anymore. And we are not mainstream, right, Craig? We are not mainstream. We are a voice for us. I do a program on Wednesday nights, and it's called Cultural Excellence. Okay? Hint, cultural excellence. And that's where I do music artists, music, art, entertainment, education. Okay? And so we want to be able to provide platforms for us. And the idea, when Sister Latoya and I, we were first talked about, and Rock, I have to give a shout out to my beautiful sister Rock. She is absolutely wonderful. She refuses to come behind the mic, okay, or get on live stream with us, you know, but she does a lot of work behind the scenes, and I love her dearly. And so she says, well, look, why don't we have our chapter president to be your co-host, okay? And that's when I met Latoya. And we talked about this because I used to do a program in California. Then we moved back here, Sister Ebony and Rorsha and Tiffany. Because, Tiffany, we want to hear from you first because you came on a little bit after we got started, and we haven't had a chance to introduce you properly. I'm sure you have some questions, and then so I'm going to go to you next. But anyway, I just want to share with the audience what this platform is all about, okay? We are about uplifting our people, I mean supporting each other. And Sister Ebony, so succinctly, she put this, you know, that she supports black business, okay? Yes, some of us, you go into some black establishments, and they made a mistake. Oh, and then you're going to run over to the other side and they keep making mistakes, but you stay there. So what is that all about? And you have some great businesses, black owned businesses out here. Folks, we can get into the history of who really built and what was the foundation of this country being whatever it is right now, except for, we are not paid, you know, in an equitable fashion. Now, come on, there's something wrong with that picture. And why do we have to even have a law that says, okay, the most qualified gets the job? But it had to be that, and so they want to take that away. And Sister Ebony, I want you to address this before we go to Sister Tiffany, okay, is that what are you really trying to say to me? That it's okay for my employer to discriminate against me? Is that what you're saying to me? Okay, if you want to take it away. Sister Tiffany, you, and then, Sister Ebony, I want you to address that. And please, Sister Tiffany, please jump right on in right after that. Introduce yourself. Tell people who you are, because you're brilliant in your own right in a whole different other field. And I just love, you know, when you were a guest, and now you're a panelist right here on this network. So, Ebony?
Yes, sir.
Please.
So, yeah. Not necessarily to discriminate, right?
Mm.
It's more so when I'm looking at the policies, procedures, who I want to admit into my college, who I want to employ in my business. When you think of DEI, it's, okay, we have to have a number of, you know, this number of minority. Right? Like, we are putting that in our policy that we have to have at least 10 African-American, you know, Asian, Hispanic. We have to make sure that we are inclusive. And what they're saying is we are not going to support anybody who makes that a part of their policy. So I want to go off of, if you are qualified, you are qualified.
Right.
I don't want to have to look at your background. I don't want to have to look at if you're a woman, if you're African American, I don't want to have to look at those things. But again, to the flip side is you, and where I see it most right now in the discussion is really like medical school. So I cannot quote verbatim, but I just seen an article about it. And one of the Republicans who are pushing for DEI to be taken away said, I want to make sure that whoever I hire is qualified. I don't want to have to look at, this is my little helper, y'all. I don't want to have to, you know, base it on, oh, you might not be qualified, but they're African American, they're female, let's give them a chance, let's give them a shot. And I don't think that is what, how it needs to be looked at. I feel like it needs to be looked at, I can be qualified and be African American, I can be qualified, be a woman, I can be qualified to be Asian, Hispanic, and anything that I want to be. And it helps me in my profession, because we all have different backgrounds and things that make us unique in our makeup. So I, as a patient, if I want to see a doctor, I want an African-American doctor, because you know what runs in my blood. You know what my history could be like, you know, high blood pressure, diabetes, things of that nature. Like, you can relate to and understand me as an African-American woman versus probably, you know, a Caucasian doctor. That is not to say that the Caucasian doctor is not qualified. That's where the diversity, equity, inclusion comes from, right? You want to be comfortable. Just like me as a female, I might want to see a female doctor, right? Because they understand me a little bit better than a male doctor probably could. That's not to say that the male doctor is not qualified, but you want to be able to have options so you feel comfortable, so you feel included, so you feel like you're being treated fairly, right? So you feel like you have options when it comes to the daily decisions that you have to make. Even me as a Black attorney, as a woman attorney, I already know that I make up the minority. But I can tell you, just like another, all these other female Black attorneys on this call can tell you too, that's why we get the most business. Because African American men feel comfortable more so with African American women as their attorneys, because we give them that nurturing feel. They feel like we're going to handle business, right? Could they go out and get a male? Yeah, they could, but they want to be heard. They want to be heard. They want to know that the person on the other side, their attorney, is listening to them, and we're going to advocate for them. And we hear it all the time. So I can only imagine if, you know, we were passed up on because we're women, if we were passed up on because we're Black. But it's our people who seek us out. I have had more African-American male clients for good as well as bad as I could think of. But I know that they come to me because they feel like I can relate to them, their struggle, and ultimately help them. And that's what I mean by, if they're going to want to take out DEI, it is then on us as a community, as a society, to figure out what we need to do to start pouring into ourselves and not relying on the government and other races to help us get to where we need to be.
Outstanding. Tiffany is next, right? Okay, hey, Tiffany, whatever comments or questions, whatever it is. Now, oh, boy, okay, let's see what's going on now, because, okay, yeah, Tiffany, hey, Rock, Tiffany is able to, you're able to comment now. Rock says, great show. Tiffany says, hola, and Tiffany is right here. Tiffany, we didn't get a chance, or the audience get a chance, to know who you are. Tell us who you are and your questions for Ebony, if you have any.
Hello, everyone. Greetings, my brothers, and hola, my sisters. I'm Tiffany Hilliard. I am also a member of Raleigh Graduate Chapter, and I went over in fall 2011. And I am a screenwriter. The question that I have for Ebony is, where do you see us going? Where do you see us at within the next 5 to 10 years with this whole DEI being taken out of, out of the policies? Do you see us being worse off than what we are? Or do you see us, like, where do you see us at, as a whole, in the next 5 to 10 years?
As a whole, I feel like, honestly, it's going to be some work. And I only say that because before we actually integrated, you know, with other races, and we were just ours, like within ourselves, as you know, as a race, we were literally at the top, top doctors, top lawyers, top in education. And it wasn't until we wanted to be integrated that, you know, I'm not going to say we fell at the bottom, but it kind of lowered us a little bit, because we put ourselves then in a situation to where, like I said, we have to rely on people and rely on a government that is not meant for us to begin with. Right?
That's right.
I feel like these conversations that we're having right now, the more that we have them, the more we make people aware, it will be the start of us getting to our own position in society, economically. I feel like the first 5 to 10 years, it might be a struggle, but I feel like after, you know, with our kids and the generation after us, it can get better. Mm-hmm. And that's just like my personal opinion. But it starts with us, each one teach one.
That's right.
Right? You have to be able to just spread the knowledge and make those aware. Put yourself with like-minded individuals to help the overall plan and to help the overall goal. But me personally, I feel like DEI is important. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like it's the end all be all.
Right, right.
That's just how I feel.
I'm glad there. Hey, Tiffany, anything else before we move on? Because I want to hear from, we have a few other people on the panel tonight. We've got Rosha Elm, we've got Kendra D, we've got Kelly Durham, and we have to be kind to our guests that's on right now. So I want to go around here, about them, next, but is there anything, that you want asked, Sister Ebony? Anything else?
Not at the moment, but thank you.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. Okay. Hey, Rosha, in case we have people who are just tuning in, tell us a little bit about you, again. I'm going to ask you to reintroduce yourself, and then we're going to go to Kendra and Kelly, and then I want my brother Craig to come in. Craig, you can, not interrupt, okay? But you can jump in and ask the next question for any of these next three guests we have. Now, Rosha, tell us a little bit more again about your background.
Sure. Again, my name is Rosha Elm. I am a proud member of Swing Fi Swing Social Fellowship Incorporated. I went over fall 2014 at Howard University.
Wow. Yeah. Love Howard.
Thank you. I'm also an attorney. I went to law school, North Carolina Central School of Law. I now live in New Jersey, and I practice in New Jersey as well.
Love it. Love it. So we want to hear your take on it, because Ebony laid it out. And I want to thank Robert Hicks. He had another engagement, so that's why he's not here right now. But Brother Hicks, He wanted to, since it was his idea, his topic, I want him to kind of lead it off and break it down for us, you know. And so I'm so proud that you ladies are here and taking your time. And I'm going to ask that, Sister Ebony, you have all the credentials, okay? Would you share with everybody you know, and I'm sure Kendra and Kelly and, who else are we missing? Kendra and Kelly, you guys, please share it, because like Ebony put it, and thank you for telling people that this is a beginning, and it is a beginning, you know, and like this is our sixth, like I said, this is program number six, Craig, and we're growing and we're growing and we're growing, and the idea is to disseminate this information around the globe, and let's know, we have to have a conversation, because that's the only way things happen. From conversations, you get ideas, and then from ideas, then you can set a course of action. And you know, and I have a feeling that we're going to turn this around a lot sooner than most people think if we keep doing what we're doing, because there's power in numbers. So, I'm back. I'm sorry. Let me get off this ramp here. We were talking to, was it Kendra?
Roisha was just introducing herself, but I can come on. So yes.
Yes, I lost her. I'm sorry. Oh, Roisha, yes. Roisha, you still here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm sorry to bounce around. I guess I'm excited here. Okay, let's go, Roisha, Kim, and then Kelly, if you will. Roisha, please continue and your take on this subject matter that we're discussing.
Sure. Again, the comments that have been made before have been spot on. Thank you, Sister Ebony. The only thing I would say is my definition of equity is not really equality. And right. I just want to kind of point out that, mm-hmm. you know, because we as a minority group have less opportunities and have disadvantages in, you know, the system, I believe that things like DEI are necessary for us to be on a even playing field with the other groups of lighter skin tone. So things like DEI being taken away from minority groups, I think will set us back in the near future. Again, it's not anything that we aren't used to. Our people are used to being pacified with these policies and years of reform when men of power come into the fold and want to, you know, pacify minority groups for votes. But then the things are then taken away later on when other men of power come into the fold and take those policies and opportunities away from us. So a good point that Sister Ebony brought up is that these programs help us, but we then have to come up with permanent solutions in our future to be able to put in place for further generations to be able to maintain on our own. You know, like she said, before we had things of our own Wall Street, our own banks, so we can get black loans instead of having to go to the white banks and being discriminated against. So I think that that is really the biggest thing that we can take away today is trying to have permanent solutions put in place for us to further our generation's wealth and opportunities in these fields that we approach in our lives.
Right. Great. Great job, Rosalind. And the other thing is to tell your own story. A lot of times we get our story told by other ethnic groups, and they can distort the truth. And once you get out in media, we have no control. So let's try to tell our own story, which is one reason that we open up this mic to the public and the sisters and brothers, so we can tell our own stories. All right, Kendra, is that all, Roisha? Is that it?
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, Kendra?
Yes. So just to reintroduce myself, my name is Kendra. I am an attorney here in North Carolina. I met Ebony when we were working at the same firm in North Carolina. We've ultimately both moved on to other endeavors, but we still, of course, stay in contact with one another. I'm originally from Virginia, first generation college graduate, and then turned into become a lawyer. So for me, I think, you know, DEI is important because growing up, my family didn't really talk about that much. And so now I'm taking the lead to make sure to educate my family about those issues. And then also to educate my children so that way they can understand about how they need to be included even at a young age, because I have one that's in middle school and one that's in elementary school, and they are needing to know early about being someone else being picked over them because of the fact that they may be of that lighter complexion. So I think it is important that this stays in place, and then also to teach our children how to fend for themselves and to also build themselves up, so that way if these things are taken away, they know how to still survive and be able to push forward. I think in our communities, like Ebony was mentioning a long time ago, and even Rosha, a long time ago, we were at the top. And then as time has gone on and we integrated, it's like we've started to become kind of complacent with being in the middle or being told that we are the lower class, and we all have the capability of being more, but we need to have that, we need to support one another. I've worked at an all-white law firm, I worked at an all-black law firm, and now I'm at a law firm where everyone is Hispanic except for myself. So I've seen all different aspects of diversion, equity and inclusion. And so we need to make sure that we continue to build ourselves, so that way if it comes to one day my firm that I'm at right now decides, well, you know what, we don't want to include you anymore, I'm able to go out on my own, bring in others that look like me and show them this is the way, because of the different experiences that I've had with these different firms and organizations. So overall, we just have to make sure that we are being in our community. We are making sure that our community is informed about the things that are happening, because a lot of them, they may not watch the news or read the different articles and really understand how this stuff can affect them, or better yet, affect their children in 5, 10, or 15 years. So we have to come together. We have to make sure we inform them and show them, like, it's okay. We don't have to stay at this stage. You can build yourself up to the next stage, and you may fall, but the whole point is for you to continue to get up and just to keep going, because ultimately you're going to be able to get to a level to where if they take those things away from you, it won't matter, because you've already built yourself up there. So I guess that would just be my take.
Great take
on it.
Great take. You know, at one time when we were at the top, the dollar turned over in the black community 3 and 4 times. Now we don't even turn the dollar over 1 time in our community. If we get upset with that black-owned businesses, we're going someplace else. A lot of times, the black-owned businesses have a larger expense, so they cost a little more. We always want to look for the cheapest deal and not support our own. My family owns a dry cleaning business. And in that dry cleaning business, we don't do as much as some of those larger dry cleaning companies. So they're getting product at a cheaper rate than we do. We're probably about 10 to 15% more. But we try to make our commitment of getting your clothes clean on time, and we even deliver. And these are some of the things that you have to do to just compete in businesses today. But a lot of times, if something is done wrong, our community, we just turn our back on black-owned businesses. And that's something that hopefully from this discussion we can change. And I advise everybody, just encourage everybody down to my sound of my voice, this week, before the week is out, try to do business at least one day in this holy week with a black-owned business.